Moncrief on News Talk.
Mary McAvoy and Declan Buckley join us once again for So You Think You're an Adult. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I work in a small office and we often chat about our lives and partners. I would say we are friends and like to have a laugh as well as get the job done. Unfortunately, one of the women I work with is now going through a bitter breakup and she is making us all miserable as a result. She's in her 50s and they've been married forever. So I'm obviously sympathetic that she's going through something very difficult. It seems that her husband walked out on her and the kids out to the blue and things are very acrimonious. The thing is, she is dragging everyone down with her. If you go to the printer to get a cup of tea, she's straight over to you telling you the latest thing that he has done wrong. She's actually tormenting us all. I understand she is going through a lot, but at this point, we really can't take it anymore. I feel like she's so sensitive that I would upset her by saying anything. But it's been weeks of headphones and avoiding eye contact because you're cornered into her oversharing. Any advice?
Well, okay.
She's ruining their buzz with her real life experiences.
She's ruining their buzz, yeah. Kind of real. That's what I'm saying. And the thing about the 50 and been married for ages kind of tells me a certain attitude.
Imagine being 50.
Imagine and being married for ages. Good Lord, what a concept.
Sounds horrible.
But what I think is, like, that kind of breakup, particularly, like, it's okay if something, you know, fizzles out or whatever, but a breakup like that when you're in your 50s is absolutely, it floors you. And I actually personally don't know anything about it, but I know people who do. That sounds like I'm trying to, you know, never mind. Okay, she could be going on and on and on and on and on about it. But if you are traumatised, and I'm quite sure she is, you tend to go on and on and on and on.
Yeah,
and on,
of course.
Now, what I would suggest, I don't think, as I say, I don't know how long this has been going on and I'm not at the receiving end of it. So maybe it's all right for me to say, I think you should be a little bit more sensitive. Maybe suggest you go out for a drink or something and, you know, to try and cheer her up, since you all know about it. Or else bring her out for a cup of coffee and just say to her, look, you know, we know you're going through something because, you're telling us all about it. But I think you really do need to talk to somebody because it's not with it. We'd love to help you, which I'm sure they would, if it is only for their own sakes. But we don't have the capacity or the knowledge to help you in this. It's a terrible thing to go through and we don't understand it because we're not 50.
Yeah.
Which just basically seems to be the thing. Yeah. But that's what I would say. I think I personally, as a person of years, would have sympathy for that lady and kind of know, like, there's a great line in Tootsie when somebody says to don't be like that. And she says, I have to be like that until I'm not like that anymore. And yes. I think actually that's the case. She can't just decide, oh, well, I won't talk about it. Because obviously probably she has to hold down a job as well. So it's not easy to go through that.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that. And I would suggest digging deeper into your
empathy bag.
Into your empathy bag. Thank you very much. That's lovely. That's a really good one. I'm going to keep that one.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
But it is about that, really, isn't it? Because I think the letter starts off with describing a situation that we can all be very familiar with, which is like, you know, we're in a shared space, we work together, and I think we're friends. Because we're not there because we're friends, we're there because we have another purpose, and then the friendship or the socialization comes along with it. And that, of course, brings in topics like what's going on with your life and all this kind of chat. And often in those situations, if one person dominates the conversation with talking about themselves all the time, that can get people's back up. So this letter writer, in the first instance, has to be aware that they're reacting to somebody else being the central subject. And that can kind of bug people from the get-go. And it's not necessarily about empathy. It's about, I don't want these little 5-minute chats by the photocopier always to be me in the listening role while you're broadcasting at me. Mm. Because when it comes down to it, though, most people, when they're talking about their issues, and you kind of touched on it there, they're not actually talking about the topic because they're looking for your advice, which is ironic on the topic that the subject, you know, this is meant to be about. They're not looking for advice. They're actually just talking because they're venting. They're venting their emotion, venting their trauma, talking about themselves. And it doesn't even have to be a traumatic issue. Some people just prefer to be the person talking about what's going on, whether it's what they watched on the television last night or whether it's the football match or whatever. They want to be talking. They're not that interested in listening to somebody else, particularly if that other person isn't really their friend. And that's where the whole blurry lines come in, into play. Mm. There isn't the emotional connection underneath this. And you kind of mentioned it as well there, Mary, is that they're not going to the pub necessarily after work, and they don't necessarily have that tighter social connection. Mm. They literally are just workmates. And that can be, a lot of people become very close that way. But for a lot of people, there's a kind, there are boundary lines, and they're like, okay, enough about that. I don't want to hear about that. I've got my own troubles. I've got my own bills to pay and all that kind of stuff, which I can understand that too. Particularly when you're younger, because you're kind of, you know, you're doing your own thing and you don't have the life experience to realize that these things actually do have a deeper social, psychological, emotional meaning, and they change your life, and your life is short. And these, you know, you don't break up with your husband when you're in your 50s every week. You know, yeah. It's something that might only happen to you once.
Yeah.
And so therefore, yes, it is. It's a big monumental moment in this speaker's world. To the other person, I don't know. It is a case of, if you don't want to listen, then change the subject or walk away. Because you're actually doing that anyway. You're actually not being a friend. You're not being a listener. So you're in that situation where you go, you know, put your money where your mouth is and hightail out of there, because pretending to be kind of friends and caring while you're not interested, that's your issue.
I think then that's kind of a almost disinterested compassion that I'd be arguing for, which is like tell her to, that, you know, we don't, which is quite true. We don't have the tools to help you.
Right.
And you should go and talk to somebody, you know, and if then you have to wait and see what she says to that. She may then go and say, OK, she might think about it. I just get the feeling if she's running up to the photocopier and running up to the water cooler to talk, is that she's not in, she's but if really somebody teetering.
She's not well.
See, at the same, like, this is a young person.
Yeah.
So their only experience of a breakup is we were together 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
This woman was probably with her husband for most of her life.
Yeah.
And so that's a level of devastation this person can't appreciate.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would drive you kind of mad after you've had, I mean, I'm mad as in crazy after you've had a, and they just, as far, I don't see how this person can pretend to be even vaguely friends, because they're not evincing any sympathy whatsoever.
That's what I feel. Yeah. I also feel like the person is making it sound like the person who's going through the breakup is the one with the problem, when in fact,
yes,
this same letter,
you're not
could,
over it yet.
Yeah,
you know?
But yeah, it also could be, the letter could be written by somebody saying, I'm working with this lad and all he wants to talk about is Shamrock Rovers. It's Shamrock Rovers 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm driving, it's exactly the same, because at the end of the day, you're talking about somebody who's talking about a subject that you don't give any dams about.
But look, I mean, I think there are things, I'm not suggesting that she suddenly hops on the empathy bandwagon now with her empathy bag.
I don't think that's where you get the bag.
But anyway,
you get it after you've been on the bag.
I think you can, you know, I mean, surely people have had heartbreak when they're younger, or have seen heartbreak, or even seen it in a flipping movie, for God's sake. You know, I really do think that they might deepen their experience of being alive by actually being a little bit more understanding of this woman. But
I think, I tried to encourage her to go for some counselling, and it would help her.
Because they're not going to, even if they really wanted to, and even if they don't mind her talking all the time, they still haven't got the tools to help her.
I've been dating my new girlfriend for about 2 months now, but it is only in the past couple of weeks that we are regularly staying over in each other's apartments. The relationship is developing really well, and she says she wants me to meet her parents. However, there's one thing which I'm really struggling with. She always leaves the door open when she's on the toilet. At first, I was taken aback by this, but she's a very free-spirited person and doesn't even have locks on the two bathrooms in her flat. Two bathrooms. Wow. Something that's so completely strange to me. So I sit on her bed while she uses the ensuite, and I find it so awkward. I try putting on Netflix or music to create some sort of distraction, but you will often engage me in conversation and it makes it even worse for me. Then last week, my worst fear materialised. She was taking ages in the bathroom and it transpired she was having a poo. I couldn't believe it. I was kind of horrified and haven't been able to engage in anything intimate since the incident. She started asking me if everything's okay. I just don't know how to get over all this because I just don't want to lose her.
Oh my Lord. I mean, look, again, this is one of those problems where it's like the letter writer believes that the person, the new girlfriend is the one with the kind of crazy behaviors and all that. And that's fine and good if that's what he believes. The reality of it is that when it comes to, you know, becoming closer to somebody and becoming more intimate with somebody, you know, you just get to know a little bit, sometimes too much about them and about their habits and about their bodies and all that kind of stuff. That's just part of the roller coaster of that stuff. The real issue I can see here is that this new girlfriend is opening the doors, you know, literally and metaphorically. Yeah. And he's not ready for the door, you know, to be opened yet in any way. And may never be, because for a lot of people, that's just, here. The problem is that he's not saying anything or doing anything. Like, all he needs to do is, do you mind closing the door? It's really simple. It doesn't have to be a dramatic moment. And he goes, I'm just going to close that door to give you your privacy or whatever way he wants to phrase it.
Or so I don't have to smell your poo.
Yeah, whatever way.
Okay. Well, it depends how far away the ensuite is in the bathroom.
But do you not think my poo smells like roses? You know,
maybe, you know, if you really love her.
Yeah, you know, you'd be like,
if you
wow.
Really love, you love my poo.
Yeah.
Oh, God. This is getting very...
That's a real test.
Yes.
No, but at the same time, and this person seems to have drawn a line, a pee seems to be okay. Maybe it puts it off...
I think he was cringed by the pee. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I know, it was the poo.
Obviously, that just feels like an encroachment into your kind of... You know, there's a door and a toilet for a reason,
yeah.
Bernadette. So, you know,
yeah.
I think ultimately, though... You know, when I was reading this, I kind of visualized those, you know, moments when girls are in the loo and they're chatting away to each other and then the doors are open, but people aren't necessarily watching each other. There's a kind of the doors are metaphorically closed in the sense that, you know, you kind of...
I have never had to pee in front of somebody, ever. And I'm 70 years of age and I don't care. And
never, little Mary. Never.
Never.
Coming home from the pub on a night out.
Behind a bush.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have anybody. I've peed in plenty of extraordinary places, let me tell you, sir. But,
okay, well, that's a whole separate item then.
Yeah,
really. That's a podcast. Oh, where Mary McAvoy has peed. Part 17.
Yeah. but like, I mean, I just...
You should have seen the faces on Croke Patrick when I was there.
Sorry. I thought you were saying Croke Park. Yeah. So there's an idea. But no, I mean, I just think it's the height of fun.
I'm just visualising you in Croke Park doing the air walk now. I go, no.
But I just think it's something... It's not even prudish, but it's essentially private. It's waste matter. I think there's a kind of an elemental form of manners that would make you want to close the door. Like, if there isn't a door, fair enough, you know, then you have to get on with it. But if there's a flipping door, close the flipping door. What's your thing? And the other thing I thought when she wants to meet the parents, so obviously they're all going around peeing in front of each other and all. It's like Meet the Fockers. I mean, I don't, I can't, I just can't.
God, there has to be stink.
But like, it's just. I mean, to poo in front of somebody when you have an option not to. And okay, maybe she's around the corner, in a corner. I don't know, but it's just. It's like, oh, come on, you know.
You know when you bring a dog for a walk and the dog needs a wee and the dog stares staring at you.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah.
And it just feels like this really weird, like vulnerable, if not weirdly creepy moment.
I have 44 pet sheep, and every time they
do, they look at you deeply in the eye.
The first thing they do when they see you is piddle.
Yeah,
and then poop, and that's fine. So I'm going. Yeah, I knew it, but if a person did it.
Okay, well, next time she's having a bath, go in and do a poo right beside her. I saw it on Father Ted and it worked.
But just say it to her. Look.
It's not like she can't have heard this before.
No,
you're right.
I mean, come on. It is simple manners, I think. Even though, look at Declan's.
I know, I agree with you.
Declan's
I'm trying
here.
To use my, I'm rooting down the bottom of my empathy bag. looking yeah. for a scrad of something. And the only one I can see.
He thinks that this is going to be a deal breaker. I mean, she says, no. No, if you love me, you'll let me take a dump in front of you every day.
I mean, let the poor guy have
that's weird.
I think it's weird. I do. I think it's weird. I would just say, like, I'm just having a chat. Do you mind if I leave the door open? If that was what, and that would be only.
And then you say, no, I'd rather you close the door. Because it's just better for our relationship going forward.
Yeah.
If we have boundaries.
I'd be perfectly happy. Yeah. Oh, no, the poo.
Yeah.
You lost me at poo.
Yeah, because if that's what you, yeah. That's but what
it is
you
about
want
boundaries.
Now.
It's about boundaries.
What will come next?
God knows. What is her name, Winnie?
I have recently started talking to an old fling of mine once again. We first met on Tinder last year. Oh, God, it was decades ago then. First met on Tinder last year, went on a few dates, then ended things because they weren't in a place for anything more serious than and that was that. We've had the odd text since ended, but nothing major. Neither of us have had serious relationships or dated anyone proper since. I casually mentioned it to a friend of mine that we were talking again, and she lost it. Went on and on about how it's a mistake, how bad it was, that I shouldn't put myself in that situation again, and how I was so upset when it ended. Why would I go near them? I'll admit, I didn't take them ending things the first time as gracefully as I would have liked, but that's in the past. Things feel different this time. It feels a lot easier and nicer, but what my friend said really struck a chord. She's not the type to pass judgment like that. Even though she just did, but I'm happy, so why should it matter? I get exes are exes for a reason, but is that always the case?
Well, I kind of think it's none of her business, really, the friend.
Because,
well, first of all, there's a slightly contradictory thing here. He or she says that it just didn't go any further. You know, it wasn't like, oh, she broke my heart and I couldn't get over it.
It wasn't like, stop. You know, yeah. She would shut the bathroom door.
And Winnie the Pooh. And then the friend comes in all guns blazing and gives me a different description of what happened. So, I mean, I think if he, she, or whatever is willing to take a chance on this, then go ahead. Now, we don't know the level of heartbreak or whether they did take it very badly or not. But if you did take it badly, then go forward with caution. But I certainly wouldn't let a friend lose in the head over it when it's really technically none of her. Maybe she worked in that office and she didn't like him talking about it all the time.
Yes.
But like that's you know, that's what I you know, I just think
I love when we create these backstories. My backstory is that the friend who's cautioning her off, the fella that was her ex, has actually had a bit of a fling with him in the meantime and doesn't want her to find out. But of course, that would be, you know, that's a bit Marion Keyes now making up narratives here. Look, the reality for me is that, you know, this is none of the friend's business, really. Yeah. However, some people do kind of rush through their romantic life with a bit of like abandon, gay abandon, if it's a gay relationship. And that can cause, you know, their friends a bit of the anxiety going, oh, not this again. Because the last time he didn't.
Okay.
They could see the person, the other partner for what they were. And they're kind of going, you don't need to go there. This is not a scenario where this person is the one. Mm-hmm. So you're entering back into this situation mainly out of a kind of a, you know, corrective energy that you're kind of going, didn't work the last time, but I'm going to fix it. This time it's going to work fine. And is that a sensible or a wise approach? Definitely not. Is the person treating you differently this time compared to the last time? Because if not, then the laws of averages are that it's going to end up exactly the same way. What way did it end the last time? Mm-hmm. What, were you ghosted? Were you dumped? Were you, you know, what happened?
How long ago again was it?
Last year. None of it is substantial enough for the mad kind of like warning off or positive thinking either. It's just, as far as I'm concerned, it's a little bit of a reboot on what was kind of a nothing last year. And if that's the case, then she should go ahead.
Yeah, but if this woman person who ended the relationship at the, you know, the first time is willing to go back into it. Well, maybe they do think differently. Maybe they do think, oh, that's the one that got away.
Yeah.
So
like,
I think,
like Richard and Liz, like, you
Richard
know, back,
and Liz getting married all the time. Yeah. Now nobody knows what we're talking
I know,
about.
It's but great, anyway, isn't it?
Life is life. You don't know what's going. Well, you don't know what's going to happen around the corner. If you're happy and you like her and or whatever is. Whoever anybody is.
The reason why we're skirting around this, by the way, is the way this letter, I noticed this when I read it. The letter is written with lots of they's, like gender neutral pronouns. So we don't know, you know, what the kind of the sexual or what the genders of the people involved are.
But this is just, look, life is short. There's horrible things going on all the time. If you have a bit of happiness, for God's sake, enjoy it. But just go forward with caution and don't, you know, if say the last one was a bit of a head over heels thing, just be a bit more careful, but enjoy it for God's sake. Jesus, the weddings are going right here tomorrow, never mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it was just like the person wasn't ready for a relationship last year, and now maybe there might be a bit more in the zone to do that.
And if you are doing a redo in any situation, if you're doing a redo, you should always have in your mind that this is a redo. You can't just, you know, wipe away the past. Bear it in mind. Because if it's a redo, because you just don't want to be in this cycle of the same stuff where,
they should say that. Say, look, you know, I wasn't great after the last one, so I just want you to.
A lot of people feel vulnerable, though, about revealing how they felt. A lot of people don't like to talk about the way they were hurt by people in the past.
Yeah.
It's about power, and it's about. And that's the reason why a lot of people like to go back, is because they felt there was a, you know, in a breakup. You lose face in a certain way, especially if you're hurt by the relationship. And then going back to it, you feel like you can reclaim that kind of lost face.
I never thought of it
and
that way.
I think a lot of people do that and they end up kind of going, I'm going to go back there and then, you know, prove that it wasn't me or whatever it was, subconscious nonsense. In the end of the day, I think, look, you've already been through this with this person already. It didn't work out. So therefore go into it not expecting much. And also don't let anybody waste your time because time is precious.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
My closest friend is getting married in Italy and she's having a big 3-day affair with the idea that everyone will make it a holiday. I've just bought a house. I'm saving for a complete renovation. I don't have a spare euro. I haven't been away in 2 years and I know that things are not going to get better as literally all of my money is going into the house. I'm single and realistically, I can't afford to go to the wedding, let alone make it a week-long holiday. How do I tell her?
Now, on my first reading of this, I was kind of like, oh, for God's sake, you know, I was going to go on one of my rants that Barbara loves when I give out about, you know, weddings and people spending all the money on weddings. But then I looked at it again. I thought, this is somebody's closest friend who's getting married. Presumably, therefore, because people like to talk about themselves a lot, as we discussed earlier on, this best friend has been talking about their wedding for a while. So their best friend knows that this wedding is happening. Has the conversation never come up going, this is what I'm thinking of doing and I'm going to invite everybody to come, you know, to come to Italy and they can make it a holiday. So that's how they can afford it. And has the financial side of it never been broached among these very close friends? Because if not, then she's not really kind of obliged in any way to allocate what is a very large amount of money towards this endeavour. However, if the conversation has come up and she's now squirming out of what she was kind of given the green light to, then it's a very dangerous area among friends. Again, this does not mean I endorse the idea of forcing friends and family to spend hundreds of euro to go to destinations.
But the thing is, if they're very close friends, if they're as close as they're supposed to be, then why didn't they have this conversation?
Because
I would say, I misunderstood what you're saying. So, so like just say, look, geez, I can't afford that.
Yeah, but why did they not have it already?
When is the wedding?
Tuesday. It doesn't say when.
Doesn't say.
In Italy. 3-day affair.
No. I mean,
the thing is, like, why doesn't the friend who's getting married, I assume if they're so close, is aware of this person just bought a house and is putting every spare dime into it.
Yeah. Then again, you get bridezilla or, you know, a bit, you know, people when they're organising a wedding, they get carried off with the whole spectacle and the whole thing of it.
And people have a vision of what it is that they want to do and they just believe, you know, rightly or wrongly, that everybody around them loves and supports them and wants them to achieve their, you know, their dream wedding.
And she can't even go for 1 day because it's as expensive to go for 1 day as it is for 3 days. Do you know? So she's in a bit of a bind. line there, but I think this conversation should have been had a lot. I mean, maybe it's just come to light. If it has come to light, have the conversation. Have it now. Just say, look, I love the Bonesy. You're my best
now,
friend.
I will say, like, if this is a really, really good friend and, you know, who we presume is only going to have their dream destination wedding once in their life, maybe again in their 50s, we don't know them about that. But like, at the moment, this is their plan. It is quite a big event for a very close friend to miss out on and not be there for.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the emotional kind of weight in the situation is. And that's why it needs to be approached with the kind of, you know, I'd love to be there, but it's a lot of money, you know, that kind of conversation. And maybe there's a way in which they can sort something out.
She might just say, Jesus, I'll
give
pay
you
the money.
For you, yeah.
Yeah.
I need you there.
Enlighten me, because I've never been on one of these things. When you're invited on these things, you're expected to pay for yourself.
Yeah.
God almighty. That's bonkers.
Instagram has ruined the world, Mary.
Bonkers.
Destroyed
bonkers.
It.
Well, also this whole thing that a wedding isn't a day anymore.
No, yeah.
It's a massive time investment.
This is all from romantic comedies on American movies where they have 10 or 12 different meals in the run up to the wedding, and then there's a thing the next day. When everybody's going to do their PowerPoint
presentation. Anyway, I think weddings are a trial anyway. I can't stand them.
Sure, most of them, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of them are.
Thank you both very much.
On that lovely note.
Mary and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.